Welcome to Ballistic Radio. Join us as we discuss hard-won self-defense lessons, as well as the information you need to survive a violent encounter. Listen as armed professionals, industry experts, national champions, and gunfight survivors help answer all your firearms and self-defense questions while exploring your rights and responsibilities as an armed citizen. Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Daniel Defense, the country's leading manufacturer of AR rifles and accessories. Daniel Defense, lighter, stronger, better. And now, here is your host, John Johnston.
Welcome to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Daniel Defense, the country's leading manufacturer of AR rifles and accessories. Daniel Defense, lighter, stronger, better. I'm your host, an only slightly, mostly dead, John Johnston. Remember, you can always listen to past shows at ballisticradio.com. Get the latest behind-the-scenes info, arguments, photos, videos, other stuff at facebook.com/ballisticradio. Coasting with me, Jack Jack!
Yay!
So, I've got the plague.
And I do not.
Yet. We'll see. I mean, my temperature's down. It's only like 101.5 right now, so there is that. Which is good. You're like, just get away from me.
Just as long as we keep this distance, I'll be okay.
No lap dances for Jack Jack from JJRG tonight. Hey, guess what, Jack Jack?
What's that, John?
Wow, I thought I'd lost you for a second. I'm like, really? You've got one job in the opening segment to say, hey, what's that?
I also have to say yay.
Well, there's that. This segment brought to you by Tactical Night Vision Company. The night is dark and full of terrors. Or at least, it used to be. It certainly was last night. But now we have the technology to fight the night. And TNVC is your one-stop shop for all your dark fighting needs. From the TNV PVS-14 Night Vision Goggle to the IR Patrol Thermal Monocular and everything in between, TNVC can outfit your defense against the dark arts. Doesn't matter if it's your lost keys, the enemy, or that little kid from down the street that likes to wander off. TNVC has what you need to find things in the dark. TNVC now with financing. Own or finance tonight. So we have a very, very special guest joining us. He's kind of a big deal. He's sort of famous online.
Very famous.
For running an awesome, awesome law enforcement Facebook page.
I think it's just an awesome Facebook page. I don't think you have to qualify it.
Yeah, that's true. You know what? It is. It's a better Facebook page than mine. I mean, not that that's a very high hurdle to jump. That's, yeah, it helps if you don't turn your mic off when you try and talk.
I had to move my mic. I forgot to turn it back on.
I know. I saw that. Joining us, Chief Deputy from Oconee County, Georgia, Lee Weems.
Hey, good evening, John. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. Kind of. Not actually. That was like an automated response. I'm mostly okay. I'm feeling better. I actually am, which is scary. For those, you've been on the show before, but for those that don't know, who are you, what do you do, and we'll hop right in.
Well, for the last 18 years, I've been a peace officer here in the state of Georgia. For the last 8 years of that, I've been the chief deputy of the Oconee County, Georgia Sheriff's Office. Now, let me be clear about that. The Oconee County, Georgia Sheriff's Office.
Apparently there's an Oconee County in one of the Carolinas?
Yes, South Carolina has an Oconee County, and they had a little incident recently that made the interweb mad, and for some reason people can't tell the difference between Georgia and South Carolina, and so I'm getting all their hate mail. So, but in fairness, when we have made the internet mad ourselves, they've gotten ours.
With someone's cargo pants too menacing? Is that what? Ooh, wow. Jack's like, bro.
Too soon, man.
Too soon? Sorry. Anyway.
Well, the incident goes into what we're going to talk about tonight, because it was a police citizen contact.
Mm-hmm.
But, there was an unfortunate incident there, and it's been uploaded to YouTube. And even though the guy who uploaded it put in the description that it's Oconee County, South Carolina, and our Facebook page has Georgia, and even now has a picture drawn to indicate that we're Georgia, I'm still getting the hate mail, because apparently geography is hard.
Well, you know.
So people on the internet aren't doing full research before commenting. I am shocked.
I am too.
You know, no comment. So, yeah, we're going to... You're one of the cooler cops I know. Greg Elfritz is cooler. I mean, don't get me wrong. He's much cooler than you. And Chuck Haggard's mustache is certainly more intimidating since you don't have one. But you're certainly in the top. Well, John Hearn's pretty all right too. You're in the top five at least. I mean,
okay.
I mean that's pretty good, right?
Well, that's higher than I would rate myself. So.
Well, you know. So we're going to talk about how armed citizens or just citizens in general should interact with the police when they run into them. And you actually teach a class on this. Can you tell us about the class a little bit?
Yes. The class is now called Police Citizen Contacts. I taught it last year at the Rangemaster Tactical Conference, and I'll be teaching it twice at the upcoming conference.
Right.
It started in 2009. Back then, I called it Interacting with Armed Citizens. I developed the lesson plan as a training tool for peace officers after seeing a lot of these YouTube videos pop up and even more importantly, some agencies in Georgia had some bad incidents and lost some lawsuits. And so I decided to create a lesson plan dealing with the subject matter, which is completely and totally a search and seizure approach to people carrying guns.
Right.
And I started traveling around the state teaching it to agencies in 2009. And somewhere along the lines, I did a class where citizens were invited. And the questions from the citizens were much different than the questions from the cops.
Right.
Because the cops, they just want to know what the rule is.
Okay.
And citizens want to know why the rule got established.
So what is, I mean, and clearly it's different everywhere, and we don't need to do a Georgia-specific show, but it seems like there's a lot of situations that occur that handled differently by both parties could maybe be better. What are the biggest issues you see from the law enforcement side and then the biggest issues you see from the civilian side when these interactions go poorly?
The biggest issue from the law enforcement side is a lack of training and understanding of the Constitution. The public school systems in the United States, and not to get down that tangent, but I think it's fair to say that people are less educated now today on the Constitution than they were in years past.
Yeah, I'd say that's accurate.
Right. And you know, in Georgia, our police academy is 10 weeks long. And there are lots of topics that have to be covered in that 10 weeks.
Right.
And so a lot of things just get shortcutted. And, you know, I did this class in Marietta at the Complete Combatant a couple of weeks ago, and Claude Warner came.
Right.
And Claude took a few minutes to address the group, and he asked them in the class, how many of you are a bad person? And, of course, no one raised their hand.
Jack's raising his hand.
I'm not bad. Well, Jack, I'm just drawn that way.
That's right.
Hey, Jack's just misunderstood.
Yeah. Much like Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
fire bad. Ask, so anyway, continue, please. I apologize.
And if you ask that question to a group of cops, you would get the same response. They don't think that they're going out there and doing anything wrong. As a matter of fact, they think they're going out what they're doing what they're supposed to do.
So where do you think the disconnect occurred? We got about a minute and 15 seconds left in this segment, but what do you think is it just that lack of knowledge about the Constitution or misunderstanding the people they're dealing with, or both?
From the cop side, it's a lack of training and understanding of the Constitution and how to factually articulate what they're doing and why they're doing it.
Okay.
Because gun equals bad is what the training typically devolves down to.
Well, and that's a shame, too, and it certainly seems to cause a lot of problems. From the civilian side, in about 30 seconds, what do you think the issue is?
From the citizen side, I prefer to use the term citizen instead of civilian.
Right.
Because I'm a civilian. I'm not a member of the military. From the citizen side, a lot of it is misunderstanding of what the cop's role in this whole thing is. And quite frankly, a lot of the interactions that we see pop up on YouTube and around the internet are from people who are going out trying to provoke a negative response.
Right. We got to go to break. We're talking with Chief Deputy Lee Weems from Oconee County, Georgia. And you're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Daniel Defense, the country's leading manufacturer of air rifles and accessories. Daniel Defense, lighter, stronger, better. This segment brought to you by Sig Sauer, now with more options. We're not all the same, and our carry gun shouldn't have to be either. And Sig Sauer gives you choices. With more models than the Bible's got Psalms, it's never been easier to find a Sig Sauer that fits your needs. From the extremely versatile striker-fired P320 with modular grip frame, to the Legion Series P226, the single-stack P225A1, or the entry-level SP2022. Sig Sauer makes a model that's right for you. Just don't ask for a Callahan full-bore auto-lock. They don't make that yet. Sig Sauer, when it counts. So I'm reading that ad, and I'm just like watching it sort of like swim back and forth in order, and I'm like, I really need to not mess this up.
Maybe you shouldn't have drank all that cough syrup before starting the show.
Cough syrup would be a no bueno right now. Anyway, back with Chief Deputy Lee Weems. All right. So you were saying before the break that the issue you see on the citizen side of things is that they don't understand what the police officer's role is in all this. Can you clarify that a little bit?
Yeah. For one thing, if you look at, there are three tiers of police citizen encounter. The first tier being a consensual encounter, the second tier being a brief stop or an investigatory detention, and the third tier being a custodial arrest. Well, let's go to that first tier, a consensual encounter. It's consensual. And if the officer is legally allowed to be where they are, they can walk up to anyone and ask them anything.
Okay.
There does not have to be any suspicion on the officer's part. There does not have to be any suspected wrongdoing, anything. The cop can just walk up to the citizen and start asking questions. Hey, how you doing? What are you doing here tonight? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
And people don't understand that, one, is that they're completely free to terminate that encounter or not respond to it at all.
Okay.
And say, officer, I don't want to talk to you tonight, or just walk away, or just stand there and don't say anything. The citizens have that right. And most of the time, what I see is that the citizen thinks that once the officer approaches them, that they are, quote, being detained, and that there's automatically need to be on the defensive.
Okay.
And that's not necessarily the case. And you look at from the other side of things, and all I know of this incident that happened in Oconee, South Carolina, is what I've seen on YouTube. In that situation, there was a guy that set up and starts taking pictures, apparently, of children playing in someone's yard.
Huh.
Well, they called the cops. Hey, there's some dude outside my house taking pictures of my children playing in my yard.
Yeah, I'd have a problem with that, probably.
Right, and there's a societal expectation for the law enforcement to respond and go see what's going on there.
Right.
And so when the cop walks up to start saying, hey, just wanted to stop and check and see what's going on here, I've gotten a call about someone out here taking pictures of these children in this backyard, you know, immediately going on the defensive and start challenging the cop and everything else that proceeded from that point, you're taking it down the wrong road yourself right there to start.
Right.
Now, you know, like I said before the break, a lot of these that we see on YouTube are set up to provoke that response. And this is one answer for that.
Well, and it seems like, you know, I think Jack had a question. So not many people know this, but Jack is a sovereign citizen. So, and he loves starting off police interactions with "you're not my supervisor."
Yeah, yeah. As I'm traveling and not driving, I feel like that's not going to be a problem. I should just be allowed to go on my way. Also, the flag has gold on the trim. So that's naval law, right?
In Jack world, yes.
Now, seriously, though, so the interaction can start off, whichever way, and citizens can sometimes escalate it further than it needs to be. So what is the next level of police-citizen interaction?
Well, the next level, the second tier, is an investigatory stop.
Okay.
And that it all stems from a case called Terry versus Ohio, which happened 52 years ago this coming October.
Yep.
And it's Detective Martin McFadden was on a street corner, in Cleveland, was watching two guys standing on a street corner that are obviously casing a joint that they're going to commit an armed robbery on. Eventually, they're joined by a third guy. And Detective McFadden eventually snatches up, that's a technical police term, snatches up these three guys. And discovers, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say it's very similar to the scientific term crap load or right. something like that, which is a lot. Anyway, right. please continue. I apologize.
Right. And he ends up snatching up these three guys. And on two of them, he finds concealed weapons that are being carried illegally under Ohio law.
Right.
Now, that's a very quick rundown of a case. There was much more to it than that.
Right.
He gets convictions on the local level of these two guys for the concealed carry violations. And they appeal, claiming that the seizure of themselves was an unreasonable search and seizure under the Fourth Amendment.
Right.
Now, if you look at the language of the Fourth Amendment, it says that a person has a right to be free from unreasonable searches and seizures. So if you're protected from unreasonable searches and seizures, the reverse of that is that you are not protected from a reasonable search and seizure.
So, and that seems like it would be where quite a few problems stem from.
And so then the whole debate centers around what is reasonable.
Okay.
All right. Well, in this instance, you had Detective McFadden, who was at the time of this incident, a 39-year veteran of the Cleveland, Ohio Police Department. For 34 years had been investigating nothing but theft and robbery cases and those type of things. And he's worked some armed robberies. He's caught some guys. And he was able to articulate what these guys were doing and why it made him believe they were engaged in criminal activity.
Right.
So he stops them before they actually commit the crime. And in the court, in Terry versus Ohio, they analyze this incident, and they said the cop doesn't have to wait until the crime is actually being committed before he takes action. So what's he supposed to do, stand there, watch these three guys go in and start the armed robbery before he responds?
Well, I mean, I think it really depends on what kind of pants he has on. I'm just saying. Anyway, sorry. Wow, I'm feisty tonight, apparently. And Jack's just looking at me like, don't do it.
You're like the comment section on a YouTube video.
Well, you shouldn't read those, Jack.
Mm-mm.
So in fairness to any of the fans that I am at all offending, I am dying much quicker than I usually am dying. Like, the rate is increased right now tonight. So my apologies. Anyway, please continue. So McFadden, using his powers of observation and ability to thin slice with 34 years experience working this one kind of crime, goes, huh, and snatches these dudes up, to use the legal term.
Right.
And they argue it wasn't reasonable. So
right. Right. And the court says there is more than an objectified hunch on the part of the officer.
Right.
The officer has to be able to articulate what in the person's behavior made him believe that they were up to criminal activity. And the term is reasonable, articulable suspicion.
Okay.
Yeah, it's got to be reasonable, and the cop's got to be able to explain it. Just saying, oh, they look suspicious is not enough.
Right.
You know, he had to be able to explain, look, I've seen what an armed robbery looks like before. I've seen what the behavior is, et cetera. And these guys were behaving in that manner.
Right.
And so the court took note of what he was saying in his vast years of experience. And reasonable articulable suspicion is somewhat of a sliding scale. A rookie right out of the academy and training is not going to have the same knowledge, skills, and training that a 39-year veteran would.
Right.
Yeah, if you have never smelled the odor of burning marijuana, how can you testify that the smell that you're smelling is the odor of burning marijuana? You don't have that knowledge and training.
That's a good point. I'm like, there's so many comments I could make right here, and none of them are appropriate. So we got about 50 seconds left in this segment. So what is the next category of interaction, and then we'll hop into it next segment?
Well, the next category is custodial arrest, and it's pretty simple, and it's based on probable cause.
Right.
And that's when there, you know, you have the, any person can look at a situation saying that person broke this law and they need to be arrested.
Right. So if you've got a school bus full of dead nuns and you step off the school bus covered in blood, I mean, I'm not a detective, but that seems kind of like a clue.
Right.
We'll talk about that more in a minute. Right now we're talking with Chief Deputy Lee Weems from Oconee County, Georgia, Sheriff's Department, office, Sheriff's Office. And you're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Daniel Levance, the country's leading manufacturer of AR rifles and accessories. Daniel Levance, lighter, stronger, better. This segment brought to you by Wilson Combat. Wilson Combat, makers of the finest custom 1911s and scatterguns since 1977. Legacy of quality, innovation, and service. Learn more about their firearms and accessories at www.wilsoncombat.com. And if you were following the Facebook page, you would have gotten to see photos of the new Wilson Combat EDC X9 before anybody else, because I posted them the other day. So, and it's looking really cool. Thank you, Jeff.
If I look at you long enough, you get stumbly.
I don't need you to look at me to get stumbly right now. Joining us, Chief Deputy Lee Weems. And I apologize. I know it's an office. I know it's not a department. I humbly beg your forgiveness, sir.
Well, since you are drunk on cough syrup, I'll let it slide this time.
Thank you. It's actually more of the dehydration and the fever. I don't think cough syrup would be good for me right now.
Now, does that title mean that you are the deputy to the chief or the chief of all the deputies?
Chief of all the deputies.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure.
So you're the number two guy, pretty much.
Yeah, the number two guy. Sheriff is obviously the head of the office.
So wait. You're number two?
Aww. Yes.
What, Jack? No, it's okay.
No, it's not.
Lee's cool. I can joke with him. He's going to tase me in Arkansas when we run into each other. And
you can joke with him. He polices the county next to my mom's house. I'm not going to joke with him.
I really care deeply for Jack, Lee. And any frustrations you feel towards me, you should definitely take out on Jack.
Inappropriate.
Jack's fine.
Okay. Well, Jack's fine. I'm not. Oh, no. I need to not ever come to Oconee County. So anyway, we were talking about the third level of interaction between citizens and police. And that's the custodial arrest. Did I?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I want to get my terminology correct. Huh. So it seems to me that people oftentimes misunderstand what kind of interaction they're having. And that's where the issues stem. Well, that's where some of the issues stem.
Yeah, but there's really not much to misunderstand about custodial arrest. Because, you know, once the handcuffs go on and you go on the back of the patrol car, it's pretty self-explanatory.
Right. I mean, I'm not a rocket surgeon, but, you know. So anyway.
Yeah, you know, the custodial arrest is the simplest of all. The brief stop tends to be the one that causes all the problem, and it is the most confusing for the citizen and for the cop.
So what are the problems here, I guess?
Yeah, you know, it goes back to the reasonableness of the stop or of the seizure, and then it goes back to whether or not the cop can articulate why they are doing what they are doing. And the other part of that is that the reasonableness is a question for court. It is not a question for the side of the road.
Right.
Or the parking lot, or wherever the interaction occurs. And what we see in all these crazy YouTube videos is people are trying to have a Supreme Court hearing right there on the side of the road.
Well, and that, I mean, that does suck for them, especially if, you know, they're being unreasonably detained or whatever. But
right.
Do you think that folks don't understand the consequences of making a bad decision inside of those circumstances?
Yeah, I think that's a big point of it. And you look at the video, and I forget which town it was in, but you talked about it on Facebook, where the two guys showed up at the police station
Michigan.
Wearing armor and a mask.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, that's a recipe for a bad consequence, a negative outcome.
Right, right.
Especially after the year we had last year with the ambushes, et cetera.
What's funny is in Detroit, I want to say it was, so not very far from where that incident occurred, Dearborn, I want to say, they had somebody walk into a police station very similarly and open fire. So it's not like it'd be unreasonable for them to see two dudes in armor and long guns and go, huh, well, this has happened just the other day, you know?
All right, and what jury, what group of people is going to look at a video of two guys walking up the steps of a police department, police station, sheriff's office, whatever, or, you know, in body armor, wearing a mask, carrying guns, and think that something bad is not about to happen?
Yeah.
And that it would not be reasonable for the cops inside to take the action that would be perfectly, you know, objectively reasonable to take.
So, I guess, you know, for the police that are listening, what would you like them to work on or keep in mind when they're interacting with an armed citizen? And then we will look at it from the other lens.
Well, the biggest thing the cop has to understand is that the presence of a gun does not obfuscate the presence of the Constitution.
Right.
It is a Fourth Amendment issue. It is not a Second Amendment issue.
Well, and it seems like a lot of people misunderstand that, too.
Right. You could be perfectly against guns or perfectly in favor of guns, and it's inconsequential to a police citizen contact. What is governing that contact is the Fourth Amendment and whether or not the contact is reasonable under the law.
All right.
As a cop, you have to know why, if we're in investigative detention land, brief stop, what crime is this person, what criminal activity believe they engaged in for you to seize them? Not just, oh, that doesn't look right, or, you know, the hair standing up on my back of my neck, my spotty sense is tingling, etc. That's reason to watch someone, and it may be reason to walk up to someone and initiate a consensual encounter. Excuse me, sir. I see you're out here tonight taking pictures or whatever the person is doing. Because remember, you can do that. You can walk up and, you know, just start a conversation with someone.
Right.
But you have to remember from the cop side of these things that unless you are to that point of reasonable articulable suspicion of a criminal act, you can't seize that person. And
right.
If that person and or their stuff is not free to go, it has been seized. And you have triggered the Fourth Amendment.
So, and I could see where, and I could certainly see where someone that is being stopped or detained in that way would be, you know, 100% rightfully upset.
Yeah.
For the citizen, though, what do they need to keep in mind, or what? I mean, is it just a focus on emotional control in that situation, or?
Yeah, of course, the burden is on the cop.
Right.
Okay, the burden is not on the citizen, and I want everyone that's listening to understand, you know, hear me say that. You as a citizen can control how this happens.
Right.
And how what the outcome of this situation is to a certain extent. If you immediately go into roadside lawyer, challenging, et cetera, you might provoke an outcome that you normally wouldn't have gotten.
Right.
And I'm not saying you have to bow down, kneel down, anything. That's not what I'm saying. But if you were just courteous, I'm even saying respectful. If you were just courteous in your demeanor, it's going to go a long way. Yeah, you know, it's that guy's trying to make a decision right there on the spot.
Right. Well, and I recently
make it easy for him.
Well, and I recently got pulled over in Pooler, Georgia, driving back from a convenience store after a long day of helping out with the Daniel Defense sponsored VCQB class, and apparently Jack had driven my car earlier that day and had messed with my headlights, which was completely my fault for not knowing the condition of my headlights. My headlights were off when I left the convenience store, so I get pulled over. And it's amazing. I was polite. You know, he asked me questions. I answered them, and I got a warning. And I'm not saying that happens all the time, but I can't remember the last time I got a ticket that I didn't deserve. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And, you know, and in that situation, if you had gone to provocation, at that point in time, he might have looked in the car and seen the multiple AR-15s that were in the back.
Well, I had actually already taken them out of the car. There was, like, I want to say 4 cases of various alcoholic beverages because I had gone on a beer run since we were done and the guns were getting put up and we're going to sit at the condo and have a tasty adult beverage or so. But he actually asked me, he's like, have you already been drinking? I'm like, no, but I'm going to start as soon as I get out of the car. And he's like, oh, okay. You know, so.
Yeah. Yeah, he's pulling you over just because you don't have your headlights on.
Right.
Okay, now, that's a good segue here, because that is a probable cause violation.
Right.
You know, breaking a law. And traffic stops are governed. They are a seizure, so there must be the reasonable, articulable suspicion or probable cause to make that stop.
Right.
Now, you didn't have your headlights on in an hour in which you're supposed to have your headlights on. You are technically, you are breaking the law at that point. That's a probable cause seizure of your person. And under Supreme Court cases, you are seized and everyone that is in the car with you is seized at that point as well.
Well, I had dropped Jack off already, so he didn't get to laugh at me in person. He got to laugh at me afterwards.
But had Jack or any of the other guys been in the car with you, they are seized at that point as well.
Right. We got about 30 seconds left in this segment, too. Please continue.
Sure. You know, the officer comes up and makes contact with you.
Right.
Your reasonable response with this guy ends up, okay, well, sir, you know, make sure you turn your headlights on and you drive safe for the rest of the night.
Right.
Versus at the very least, he could have written you a citation.
Yeah. And I was thankful he didn't. And if he had, you know, I earned it. We got to go to break. We will talk more with Chief Deputy Lee Weems from Oconee County, Georgia. Right now you're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Daniel Defense, the country's leading manufacturer of AR rifles and accessories. Daniel Defense, lighter, stronger, better. This segment brought to you by Surefire. Know your target and what is beyond it. But how can you really know your target? By shining a really bright light at it. And that's where Surefire comes in. From the USB rechargeable 300 lumen sidekick to the 500 lumen X300 Ultra or M600 Scout Light, Surefire can make sure you never have to yell Aziz Light ever again. Doesn't matter if you're shining a light at a potential threat or just helping your friends see through their eyelids. When you need all the lumens for longer, you need Surefire. And now, as a special offer to Ballistic Radio listeners, you can get 30% off every product at the Surefire.com web store except for suppressors and batteries by entering the discount code ALLTHELUMENS, that is ALLTHELUMENS, at Surefire.com. So, we are talking with Chief Deputy Lee Weems. So I apologize, I cut you off with the commercial. We've kind of discussed police need to understand what they're doing. Citizens need to understand how their how their interactions can influence what the officers end up doing. Is there anything else to all of this that people should think about?
You know, the key thing to remember is that if you are being wronged, this is from the citizen side. If you were being wrong, the time to fight that battle is not on the side of the road or in the parking lot.
Right.
The time to fight that battle is, you know, after it's all occurred, you know, go meet with a supervisor, go meet with an agency head, and if worse comes to worst, go meet with a lawyer.
Right.
You know, from the cop side of things, and I'm sorry, goes a long way.
So yeah. one more time there?
From the cop side of things, and I'm sorry, goes a long way.
Right. So why do you think that you don't see that too often?
Lawyers. The belief that if we admit any kind of wrong, that it's going to wind up in a civil rights lawsuit.
Right. So everything is the lawyer's fault is what you're telling me right now, Lee.
Well, you know, the burden is on the cop, and if the cop doesn't screw it up, then there's never a reason for the citizens to have to involve the lawyers.
There is that. You know, and sometimes the cops are doing the best they can, and right. You know, it works out poorly for us.
Right.
You know, and that's, I think a lot of people don't really think about, yeah, it sucks to have to go to court. It sucks to have to go to court for something you didn't do wrong, but it sucks a lot less than taking a face full of pepper spray, or, you know, a taser ride or bullets, and having a, at that point, perfectly justified resisting arrest charge on you or whatever else.
Right. Right. A couple of things from that is that one is that wrong or mistaken does not equate to evil intent.
Right.
And then, you know, we go back to the standard for custodial arrest. That's probable cause.
Right.
That's a standard much less than reasonable doubt. The cop is not the final judger, you know, the final judge of this incident. But, you know, his standard is probable cause. And if they, you know, the facts or the circumstances are that would lead a reasonable and prudent person, when using all of their senses, to believe that a crime has been committed by the suspected person, and the cop takes you to jail, you might get proven innocent in court or found not guilty in court because it was not enough to prove beyond reasonable doubt, but there was enough to establish probable cause.
Right. So it essentially boils down to don't be a jerk on either side.
Exactly. You know, I think the best advice here is everybody just be cool.
Oh, I love you so much for putting the Pulp Fiction reference into the show, Lee. So
there you go.
And that'll be the title of the episode. See, Melody's going to listen to this. She's going to ask me, what do you want to title it? And be like, everybody just be cool. That's
there
it.
You go.
So I got to ask, I was lucky enough to have one of your deputies in class this last week. Clark's an interesting fellow. So,
yes, he is.
I don't know if there's any stories you want to tell about him on national syndicated radio that you can go into the office tomorrow and be like, hey, you really need to listen to Blissic Radio this week. No reason.
There are lots of stories that I would love to tell. I just don't know if there are stories that Deputy Sparrow would love for me to tell.
Oh. Well, you are his supervisor, though, right?
That is correct. Now, we go back a long ways. I started off with a police department, as did he. And as a rookie officer right out of the academy, he was on my shift. And there was one instance in which he wrote, I think he was in like 3 or 4 months experience. And he wrote a manifesto to the chief of about 20 pages of suggestions for improvement.
Huh.
And that didn't go over well. And he got put on parking deck patrol duty, and I had to escort him from parking deck to parking deck.
That's amazing.
Savage. Savage.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
I was his shift supervisor, and so I got the duty of escorting him from parking deck to parking deck.
Nice.
But when I was appointed chief deputy of the sheriff's office, I brought him with me. And as much grief as I love to give him, I do have to say that he helps tremendously in the training of our personnel.
Well, he was definitely a pleasure to have in class, and he is a nerd, which immediately gets me cool points. Gets cool points with me whenever I run into a fellow late bloomer, as we probably were. Wow, that was a really diplomatic way to say that.
I don't know about you guys. I was a nerd in high school and did fine.
Well, but you're Jack, and you've got that
true.
You've got that certain something, Jack.
That, well, I was whatever the nerds even wouldn't associate with. So.
Yeah, I could see that.
And still am. So.
Well, you know, we don't have time, or I'd have you tell the story about your recent pilgrimage to the site of the Frank Hammer.
Man.
Frank Hamer.
Hamer, excuse me. I like calling him Hammer because it's cooler.
If they
cooler.
Have ever have to send someone, I hope it's you, Lee. You just add a whole thing of class about it.
Right?
Well, I tell you what, Jack. We can work it out where you get locked up for some minor offense. And then you jump bail and you just go from one interesting place to another, and I'll just keep coming again.
It'd be an amazing TV show. And I'll say, if you arrest Jack on a minor offense, the chances of it staying a minor offense after you arrest him, very unlikely.
Am I being detained?
Wow.
Yes. Well, to paraphrase Ron White, I don't know how many it's going to take, but I know how many I've got.
Well, there you go.
It was a parking ticket. Come on, guys.
Right? Yeah. Lee, I really appreciate you taking time out of your evening to come on the show tonight. Hopefully we weren't too annoying. I'm looking forward to seeing you in a couple weeks, brother.
Sure thing, man.
All right. Hey, be safe.
Thank you.
All righty. So... Okay. We've got like a minute or so left in the show. I just wanted to say, and I wanted to take a second because Facebook just reminded me, I've been doing this for 4 years now. I know, right? Can you believe that?
I mean, you have gotten reading the ads down, and we almost always have a guest.
Almost always.
There's never been a drive up here where we desperately were, oh, wait, no, that's not true.
It's every time I do
this. It's every time.
Hey, I secured Lee yesterday.
Whoa.
Thank you. Yeah, that's good.
That is a 2,000% improvement over how we typically do it.
Right. Well, hey, I just want to take a quick second to thank you guys for letting me have the coolest job in the world. I really, really couldn't do it without you. This is our 199th episode. We've got our 200th episode next week, which will also be a season finale. So we might have some cool stuff that we give away and things of that nature. Anyway, make sure you check out our website, ballisticradio.com. Like our Facebook page at facebook.com/ballisticradio. And hey, keep leaving those 5-star review on iTunes. We really appreciate it. Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, be safe. See you next week.